All right, blood pressure. Now, blood pressure is a surrogate for blood flow. Now, what do we mean by surrogate? What's a surrogate mother? Okay, so say there is a woman who can't get pregnant, or maybe it's too dangerous for her to get pregnant because she might die because of a medical condition, but she really, really wants a baby. So what does she do? She pays someone else to have the baby for her. All right, now, blood flow. In order for us to measure blood flow, it's kind of invasive. And we don't necessarily want to stick catheters into people's arteries every time we want to measure blood flow. So rather than measuring blood flow directly, we will use a marker, an indicator of blood flow. And that marker or indicator is blood pressure. Now, what is it that drives blood flow in the first place? Pressure, yes. And it's pressure generated by your arteries and your heart. So what we're doing is we're measuring pressure, which will drive blood. And we're assuming that as long as there's pressure, there will be blood flow. All right, so pressure drives blood flow, and it only affects the arterial side. By the time blood has gone through the capillaries and into the veins, the amount of pressure is dropped so much that pressure is really no longer driving the blood. Question?
So when you have someone with an arterial line, is that more accurate than, say, a cup or something?
Yes, because what you're doing there is you're actually measuring blood pressure directly when you put a catheter in their artery. So, yeah, it's more accurate and it's also real time. We'll talk about the limitations of cuff measurement in a second. Now, venous blood returns to the heart due to the contraction of skeletal muscle. So what I ever want to do is I want you to squeeze your legs really tight. Squeeze your legs, squeeze your legs, squeeze your legs, and then relax. Guess what you just did? You just put a whole bunch of blood back up to your heart. Now, if you walk around, guess what you're doing? You're returning blood back up to your heart. Guess what happens when you sit down all day or just stand in one place? You're letting blood kind of pool down in your legs. So if you've ever noticed that if you're just kind of standing still for a while or sitting down, like you get veins that start to become engorged in your feet. Any of you ever see that? Or maybe not you. You have different genetics. Maybe someone you know, your dad, for instance. You ever see that? All right, go home and try it. Then, if you put your feet up or if you walk around for a while, they start to squeeze down because that blood is coming back into the heart. Now, what keeps the blood from dropping back down? Valves. All right, so there's one-way valves that keep that blood from going back down to your feet again once it's been pushed up a little bit. All right, so arterial pressure is generated by arteries and heart. All right, blood pressure is two principles. Your measurement is only as good as your instrument. And your interpretation is only as good as your theory. We're going to talk mostly about instrument here, but we'll talk a little bit about theory because it is important for us to understand what we mean when we interpret blood pressure. All right, so sphygmomanometer. What? Who wants to say that 5 times real fast? No takers? All right. Sphygmo is a fancy word for pulse. Mano means pressure, and meter is measurement. So, pulse, pressure, meter. So that blood pressure cuff that you pump up technically is a sphygmomanometer because it's going to allow us to measure pulse pressure. Now, 64% of them in a hospital study were unreliable. What does that mean, unreliable? You can't trust the reading. You pump it up one time, you get one reading. You pump it up again, you get a completely different reading. So it's unreliable. You get different readings every time you measure it. 21% of them were inaccurate, meaning it was just completely off. You could get reliable measurements, but it was just the wrong measurement. Now, there's two basic kinds of sphygmomanometers. One is a mercury column, very uncommon nowadays because we want to try and get mercury out of hospitals. The other is called an aneroid, and that's the kind that we have in our lab as a little dial. So anytime you see one that has a dial, that's called an aneroid. Now, aneroid in the hospital, they found that 70% of them were unreliable because what you have to do on a regular basis is recalibrate them. And most hospitals just don't have their aneroid blood pressure cuffs on a maintenance program. So in the hospital, 44% were unreliable, and 61% in private medical practice. If you'd like to read this study for yourself, you can go find it right there. Now, cuff-based measurement. Cuff-based measurement's only been around for about 120 years. Rivarachi, a feller, in 1896 invented the blood pressure cuff. The blood pressure cuff allowed us to take a palpated pressure, which we learned how to do in the last lab. So you pump the cuff up, feel for a pulse. When the pulse goes away, you start letting it out and feel for when the pulse comes back. We call that a palpated pressure. Now, that was kind of useful, but it really only told us the top of a blood pressure wave. And it wasn't until a guy named Korotkov, a brilliant young Russian doctor in 1905, he came up with the idea of, hey, why don't we listen to the artery while we're doing that? And what he found is that when you listen to an artery with no pressure, guess what you hear? Nothing. Guess what happens when you completely cut the pulse off? Nothing. But guess what happens in that in-between? You hear some sounds. Those sounds are being caused by turbulent blood flow. So ordinarily, blood flow is what we call laminar. It's all going the same direction. But when you make it turbulent, it starts hitting the sides of the blood vessels and causes sound. Sound. We call those sounds Korotkov sounds. Gosh, we're so original. So, the way we take a blood pressure now is we blow up the blood pressure cuff until it completely stops the pulse. Then what do? Put the stethoscope on the brachial artery, or the antecubital artery, and we slowly let the cuff go out. As blood flow returns, we begin to hear sounds. When the blood flow is completely normal, those sounds go completely away. So, the top, when the sounds start and when the sounds disappear, is the top and bottom numbers of our blood pressure measurement. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All right. You can also use this technique in the leg, but most commonly we're going to do it in the arm. All right, now you can also do direct measures. Direct measures are done usually in the intensive care or in the operating room using an arterial line. You stick a catheter into the artery and there's a pressure gauge at the end of it. It measures directly. It's usually done in the radial artery, so you get a radial pulse. Now, in the cath lab, cath stands for catheter lab, what we can do, you put people on a special table and you run a catheter up usually the femoral artery, the left femoral artery, up into their heart, and then you can measure the pressures directly in the heart and in the aorta. So this is done where? In the cath lab. Now, out of these three different measurements, which one is the best measurement? The one we do in the cath lab. Why? Because it's in the heart. Now, that brings us back to interpretation is only as good as your theory. So measurement is only as good as your instrument, and interpretation is only as good as your theory. Now, the theory for a long, long time was that these three blood pressures are equal to each other. But they're not really. And there's a reason for that. So, if you take a direct measurement, you'll get something that looks kind of like this. So, blood pressure drops to kind of a low. You get a heartbeat, and it comes back down, pops up again, comes back down, pops up again, comes back down. Now, What we do when we put a blood pressure cuff on someone is we take the very top and we take the very bottom. And we say, this is systolic and this is diastolic. Systolic is which number? Top or bottom? The top. Diastolic is the bottom. So when we put a blood pressure cuff on, all we're getting is the top and the bottom. We're throwing away everything else about that curve because that's all we care about. Now, have we thrown away a lot of information? Heck yeah. Now, the theory for a long time was that if you took a blood pressure in the ventricles, it would be the same as if you took it over here in the brachial artery or in the radial artery. Well, guess what? It's not that way because the structure of these two different arteries are very different. Now, we'll talk about why that's important when we in pathopharm, but what I want you to know for right now is that if you take a blood pressure in the aorta or ventricles directly, it's going to be very different than if you take it directly at the brachial artery. Not. Okay. Now, if we go from one peak to another peak, we measure this distance, what are we really measuring? If we measure the distance from this peak to this peak, you're essentially measuring heart rate. So what we do in a normal basis is we measure the top to the bottom and from here to here. And that's all we really care about in terms of the heart. The systolic, the diastolic, and the heart rate. Now, in addition to the top and the bottom, we can also calculate some other stuff. What happens if we subtract these two from each other? What do we call that? Not the mean. Range. And the pulse range is called pulse pressure. So it's the difference between the bottom and the top of the pulse. That's why it's called pulse pressure. You can think of it as the extra pressure generated by the heart. Then we have we call an average pressure or a mean pressure, which is sometimes called mean arterial pressure. And there's a formula that you can use to approximate mean arterial pressure, and that is the diastolic times 1/3 of the pulse pressure.
And that's for
what? That's for mean pressure. Now, which pressure is it that drives blood? Systolic, diastolic, pulse, or mean? Yeah, which pressure is it that drives blood through your body? Nope. Nope. You're getting closer because there's only two left. Nope. There's only one left now. Mean arterial pressure is what actually drives blood through your body.